Welcome to our panel discussion today. We made it through the snow, the cold, and now we're ready for an informative and interesting discussion about virtualization and mobility. Our guests today are Mark Googe, Chief Technology Officer of the Defense Health Agency, Gary Barlett, CIO of the U.S. Postal Service's Inspector General Office, Joe Brown, President of Accelera Solutions, and Ken Liska, Virtualization Solutions Specialist for U.S. Public Sector at NetApp. Welcome, gentlemen. Before we get started on discussion, let me set some context. As agencies move applications and services to the cloud, two common themes are emerging. First is the initial step toward cloud usually begins with virtualization across multiple platforms, applications, servers, desktops, even users. Cloud then opens the door to enable mission operations in a mobile environment. Federal employees take advantage of smartphones, tablet computers to input or review data in real time and improve access to applications no matter where they're working. One good example is the Postal Service's Inspector General Office, which we'll hear from later today. Virtualization, they're virtualizing more than 400 servers, most on the front-end infrastructure and back-end storage to increase computing power. By virtualizing, the USPS OIG is now moving toward a bring-your-own-device or BYOD strategy to let employees take advantage of the virtualized environment securely and efficiently. Other agencies also are following suit. The Navy hopes to virtualize all of their servers and applications by 2017 to save both money and to improve their security. And there's no doubt federal CIOs have accepted the benefits of virtualization as a path toward mobility. A recent survey by Forrester and NetApp of private sector IT executives found virtualization drives hardware costs down and improves disaster recovery capabilities. Now, at the same time, virtualization mobile computing creates other challenges, chief among them, as we seem to always talk about, cybersecurity of both the data and the device. So with that, let's begin our discussion. Once again, our guests are Mark Googe, Chief Technology Officer of the Defense Health Agency, Gary Barlett, the Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Postal Service's IG Office, Joe Brown, President of Accelera Solutions, and Ken Liska, a Virtualization Solutions Specialist for the U.S. Public Sector of NetApp. So let me turn to Mark to start. Let's talk about virtualization. Let's talk about mobility. Just give us a 50,000-foot view. Where are you guys at with virtualization?
So with virtualization, we are in a hybrid mode right now with a lot of the convergence of our systems to really take on the provisioning that virtualization allows us to have and really change the paradigm about how we do pub-sub consumerizing our applications. We've done a lot over the last year of creating a virtualized platform that hosts our centrally regionally hosted applications that provision those down to the desktop that are really hardware agnostic, so we can take that out of there so we can apply different points of view from a tablet, like you said, to a mobile to provide the right data to the right person at the right time. So I think over the next 3-year spectrum, you'll see a lot more fidelity as the new DHA comes to the FOC, that a lot of those things that were service-centric or service-specific will now become enterprise-wide.
And part of that is through the virtualization effort, because you can access it anywhere at any time.
Yeah,
that's the concept.
Absolutely. So, I mean, obviously, as a DoD, we're a mission anywhere partner, and we really have to build that low-com, no-com disconnected mode that we operate in on a daily basis while still working in brick-and-mortar facilities so that we can streamline the provisioning of applications across the spectrum that we operate in.
All right, let's turn to Ken Liska from NetApp. From a client perspective, what are you seeing from your federal clients around virtualization? Is that the latest fad, or are we moved beyond the fad stage and people get the virtualization importance?
Well, I think we've moved beyond the fad stage for most everybody. There are still some agencies that aren't virtualized yet. I tend not to hear about them until they're already virtualizing or just in the process of just starting. It's not often I find an agency that doesn't have anything virtualized. I think I've run across it once in the past 3 years where they're just planning. So virtualization is it's more ingrained. What the big thing is now is getting to the mobility phase, getting to the cloud phase, finding out what can you do to automate your system? What services can you put in the public cloud, if any? For example, DoD agencies usually can't put a lot in the public cloud, where civilian agencies potentially can leverage a public cloud or Amazon Web Services, for example, a lot more. So I work in the middle ground. We're figuring out, is a public cloud better, a private cloud, or helping customers get to a hybrid scenario, or a little both?
And when you talk to your clients in the federal market, do you find that they are moving more the back office systems, the payroll, the HR, the IT systems, or are they moved on to mission critical, or is it, again, it's inching toward the mission critical?
A little bit of everything. The traditional flow is usually some outlaying systems, usually some one-off application service. Then the next thing is usually email, we find goes rather quickly. Those tend to stay more in-house. Where I see public cloud utilized is for disaster recovery, external access. If an agency needs to allow non-employees or contractors or just regular American citizens to access data, it'll oftentimes be hosted in a public environment rather than the private environment.
All right. Let's move to Gary Bartlett from the Postal Services Inspector General Office. Now, I use you as an example based on a conversation that we had about 6 or 9 months ago. Virtualization is a path you guys are already down. Tell us where you're at with it and where you're heading.
Well, like you mentioned, we've already virtualized over 400 servers. About 95% of my servers are now completely virtualized in our in-house data center. We are now embarking down the full-scale rollout of virtual desktops for our employees. We've had a pilot going for, say, just over a year. Really wanted to learn our lessons from it, take our time, and now we've awarded a contract to really build out full scale the infrastructure that's required to do virtual desktop for all the employees. We expect to start migrating users within the next 60 days, and then through the course of the year, we'll eventually get all 1,600 users rolled over to virtual desktops. That's the plan. There's always room for improvement in the plan. So that's where we're standing. And then as far as moving things to the cloud, we've been really hard, fast approaching a cloud-first strategy. In fact, many of the recent applications that we've replaced with our in-house applications have been replaced with cloud applications. We went with a cloud-based trouble ticketing system. I had currently had 7 independent trouble ticketing systems that were all in-house coded trouble ticketing systems. We've replaced 2 of those already with a cloud-based solution, and it's a platform-based, and we're in the process of migrating the other 5 over right now. So we've been pushing hard for migrating things to the cloud where possible, and if not, we'll virtualize them in-house.
And the path toward the cloud, did it have to start with virtualization from your perspective? Was that like the baby step?
So I think it was a combination. It was kind of a baby step for us, really get us allowed us to be a little more comfortable with not having a per server, per application kind of environment. And I think it made it a little bit easier from a, I don't know that the customers per se, but certainly my folks, the technical folks, started getting a little more comfortable with the, that's not this server, being able to walk into a room and touch it. I think it made that transition for the IT staff a little bit easier.
All right, I'm sure we'll touch upon cloud later on. Let's turn to Joe Brown from Accelera Solutions. What are you hearing from your customers as it relates to virtualization?
Good morning, Jason. So my customers are, kind of all across the spectrum as far as how much virtualization they've deployed in their organizations. I think what Gary just said about, his organization, I think it's pretty much the norm, saying that, most of our customers have server virtualization. It's been deployed for years. I'm seeing about 70% penetration as far as server virtualization goes within the data center. There's about 30% of the workloads are still kind of hanging out there that either can't be or just the application owners are unwilling to virtualize them right now. But predominantly, server virtualization is just ubiquitous across my customer base. Beyond that, customers are trying to figure out how to get more out of server virtualization and using automation tools, trying to figure out how to shrink down the cost of the virtualization stack is a huge conversation across the industry right now. So how to minimize the amount of storage you have to spend, how to consolidated networking, right? So using 10 gig networking, using beyond 10 gig networking to consolidate down the number of ports you have to use, things like that, these kind of conversations. And, so we partner with a lot of innovative technology companies to help deliver those to our customers and really kind of value engineer that virtualization stack. That's really what a lot of people are focused on these days.
I want to pull on a string that you talked about, get more out of virtualization. Mm-hmm. The old theory used to be when it comes to servers, any servers only use 10 to 15% of full capacity. Mm-hmm. The idea behind virtualization and cloud and specifically some of the things you saw earlier, like blade servers and such, was the idea you'd use more of that server capacity. Is that what you mean by getting more out of virtualization? Or are you even talking about as we go to mobility and other accessibility issues, that's what you mean by getting more out of virtualization?
Yeah, I think I mean that organizations, when they in 05, 06, 07, when people were first virtualizing servers, everyone said, hey, I got to do server consolidation, right? That was what everyone was looking for. And that was sort of the first baby step kind of into virtualization. And, you know, it took off like wildfire, and people said, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And all of it was built around a value message, right? And the value message was, I can reduce my overall operating expense if I can virtualize servers. People want to take that value message and expand it out past just the basic server, right? They want to be able to do things like have automation built into their workload management environment, right? Be able to manage workloads across data centers, right, from one pane of glass. Be able to do things like recover workloads automatically from a high availability perspective. And then taking it to the next step and moving out beyond the data center down to the desktop and the mobile device, that's where they're really going to get a greater amount of value in the long term for, you know, as it relates to virtualization.
Gary, let me point to you, because you guys have virtualized about 95% of your infrastructure from a server perspective. Are you now looking for more value, or is there a way that you're saying, here's step one, now step two is really to not just reduce costs, but as Joe was describing, kind of get more from it?
No, absolutely. So some of the things that Joe touched on, right? Self-provisioning. You know, so we're still in the environment of kind of the old school way of, you know, somebody needs a server, they come to, they submit a ticket to IT, and we go and provision the server for them. You know, the reality is, you know, with virtualization, and you know that that's the way the cloud providers do it, you know, click a button, bam, there's your server. You know, so trying to get out of the business of, you know, making, standing up a server a commodity that the customer can themselves, you know, request, and we know that it's being built securely because it's coming from a secure image that we maintain, let it come up, you know, auto provision IP addresses, and let them, you know, do their thing, whether it's for a long-term or short-term kind of thing. We've got, you know, tools that will allow us to see those things. We're just now starting to look at that. And whether it's in-house or something that's hosted in the cloud, you know, that single pane of glass that he referenced, you know, that's crucial. You know, the vendors are now more and more coming out with tools that allow you to do that. You know, it's always been, well, you use this pane of glass for your in-house stuff, and you use this tool for, you know, the cloud provider's tool for the cloud provider stuff. Now that you're really starting to see where you can manage those things, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, where it sits in-house or out of, you know, out in the cloud. That's really starting to make that enticing to really be able to get more out of that capability and not worry about where it's physically sitting.
Mark, let me turn to you, because the Defense Health Agency, like a lot of DoD and intel communities, have a concern. They can't put so much in the public cloud. They use a private cloud. So self-provisioning then maybe makes more sense and maybe can happen more quickly through virtualization. But there's also that, how do you pay for it? And if you go to something like a DISA deck, mm-hmm. Well, there has to be money there before DISA can turn something on. Talk about how that virtualization, the value proposition that you're starting to look at.
Sure. I mean, from a DISA, they're a working capital fund. So it's no different from agreements that we make with a public sector cloud provisioning services. So, and we use them. And just like you were talking about, we're moving mail, right, up to that as an enterprise go-forward strategy to let us really talk to all of our customers in the warfighter spectrum across the board. So that's a big one we've done. And, there are a lot of places that they have on their kind of approval that we operate in, foreign countries, right? They have a lot of deck provisioning there that allows us to really still meet our mission partner, protect our data, and have an environment which allows security onto the gig at large.
Do you have ability to call up DISA and say, hey, I need five more servers, or I need this much more capacity, without having to worry about, okay, is there money in that pot to pay for it? Like, how does that work? Because I think the way Gary was talking about self-provisioning, I mean, is that a CIO's worst nightmare to have, you know, the program guy call up and say, I need 10 more servers?
Right. Well, I think it comes back to, you know, forecast where you want to be, then reverse back to that. Because, I mean, these are, you know, palm issues that you have to deal with about what you see yourself at, with the requirements of, so you can provision the right equipment to the right area or activity for the right outcome. And I really think it has to be that. So we do a lot of detailed engineering up front, so it's fit for purpose, fit for needs, so we don't have to worry about, well, I need to four more servers here or three more there. But I think that's the change from early adoption of virtualization. When I was still an engineer, it was, wow, it's another layer, but I'm still building vertically, right? I'm not doing the horizontal elasticity that we see from virtualization, right? That provisioning of, where does it come from and how do I get the data? Like, that's kind of not the need, right? It's is it available to you? Do you have the data? Can you make a decision? Is it available in uptime? And we do a lot of that through our baking with service level agreements, right? What are 5.9s or continuity of operations planning? That all goes into a lot of the stuff that we're doing with DISA or any other provider when they become certified to the level that we can put our data and our stuff in there. But certainly hybrid clouds, we know we're going to operate in there. Based upon a lot of the stuff we do today with our managed care support partners and the delivery of health care for those people entrusted to our agency for their healthcare delivery and their families. We do a lot on the outside as well. So, yeah, that's definitely in the future.
Ken, let me turn to you real quick. Horizontal elasticity. Talk a little bit about, is that something that you're seeing from customers who want no longer want that vertical, but want to go across their agency through and have virtualization help them kind of achieve that?
Yep. So if by horizontal elasticity, do you mean the ability to spread the cost around and use the same resource for multiple?
That's smart. It was his term, and I liked it.
Yeah. So it is about that. It's quality service provisioning, right? So the right computing power at the right time. So banking as industry, they'll shoot their data at night or whenever. So it allows that to be materialized. So if you go through your apps, which we do, right, it says, so for my uptime and availability, this one's at 5 nines, 3 nines, 2 nines, 1 nine. Right, then I can put on that quality service for that SLA, for that service level agreement that I'm making, so that I can ensure that data and that community and that power is delivered to that customer at that time. So, yes, I am. Right. So it goes back to that tending to building vertical stacks versus horizontal elasticity.
All right, we're going to get you to answer that question, but first we're going to take a quick break. Mark stole your time, so when we come back, we're going to start with you and talk about that idea. You're listening to the panel discussion, Mobile Device Management, Securing Your Agency's Information, sponsored by Accelera Solutions and NetApp on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and our guests today are Mark Googe, Chief Technology Officer at the Defense Health Agency, Gary Barlett, Chief Information Officer for the U.S. Postal Service's Inspector General Office, Joe Brown, President of Accelera Solutions, and Ken Liska, Virtualization Solutions Specialist at U.S. Public Sector NetApp.